ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. அயோத்தியகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 92, பரத ஜர்னிஸ் டு சித்ரகூட. Bharatvaja enabled Prince Bharata and his people to pass a happy night thanks to his considerate courtesy and noble hospitality. Next morning, Bharata was up and moving before dawn and proceeded to the sage's abode to gain information as to the present quarters of Rama. Meanwhile, the Maharishi had finished his matinee devotions and started to the royal camp, desirous to pay a visit to the ladies of Dasharatha. The prince saluted him with clasped palms and stood waiting to be spoken to. Bharadwaja saw into his soul and found it filled with utter purity and love to Rama. It was not affected in the least by the gorgeous hospitality of the night. Rama and Rama alone occupied it, waking or sleeping. So the sage said to him out of a pleased heart, "Child, had you and yours a pleasant time of it last night at my ashrama? I am but a poor hermit after all. I hope you will take the will of the deed and forget anything that might have been amiss or defective." Whereat Bharata rendered reverent reply, "Holy one, I and mine have been honored, I fear, far more than we deserve. Our wildest wishes have been anticipated to their utmost. Lodged in mansions that put shame to the palaces of the gods, we tasted of such entertainments and delight as rarely fall to the lot of the heaven dwellers. Languor and fatigue, care and anxiety are things of the past with us. We are only conscious of a supreme, ineffable content. We crave leave to proceed to where Rama abides. I pray your holiness to extend to me your kindness and compassion. Whereabouts is the ashrama of Rama? How far is it from here? Which is the way that takes us to it?" It spoke highly of the devotion of Bharata and his supreme faith in the tapas and omniscience of Bharadwaja that he requested the information of the sage, while Guha and many others could as well furnish it. "Child," said the sage, "a yojana and a half from here, there is a mount by the name Chitrakuta, and around it a large forest uninhabited by man. The river Mandakini flows north of it, its banks covered with thick woods bright with flowers. Rama's ashrama lies between the river and Chitrakuta. I see it with my eye of spirit. Follow for a while the path that leads from here due south, branch off another that leads southwest from it, and after a time you will come upon the hermitage of Rama." When Bharata was ready for the march, the ladies of King Dasharatha got down from their litters and surrounded Bharadwaja, the knower of Brahman. Kaushalya and Sumitra laid themselves at the feet of the sage. He noticed that they were worn and emaciated with grief at being separated from Rama and shook with age and awe at finding themselves in the presence of the Holy One. Then Kaikeyi bowed down with grief at being the cause of infinite woe and misery to Rama and through him to all the world, her heart hopes frustrated, an object of universal scorn and contempt, made a hurried salutation to the Maharishi and sheltered herself behind Bharata, all ashamed to stand in the holy presence like others. Though he was aware of everything that took place, Bharadwaja wanted to teach a lesson to Kaikeyi and asked the prince to point out to him the wives of Dasharatha. Bharata grasped the purpose of the sage, who desired the world to know the nature and character of the queens through the mouth of their son. Ever loyal to truth, he turned towards his host with clasped hands and said, "Holy sir, this lady who, though lean with fasts and grief, gives one the idea of the god of Dharma come down on earth, is Kaushalya, the first and foremost of the wives of my father. She is a thrice happy mother of that ideal man Rama, with the lordly gait of a maddened lion, even as Aditi gave birth to Mahavishnu. The other lady who supports her on her right and has been the playground of many a sorrow is Sumitra, the second of my father's wives. There she stands like a stately Karnikara tree when the summer heat had drained its flowers of full life and brightness. Lakshmana and Shatrughna are her sons, handsome as the two Ashwinis and heroes of unfailing prowess. And this woman by my side is the infamous Kaikeyi. She drove Rama and Lakshmana to the forest of Dandaka, haunted by Rakshasas, and exposed them to danger and death. She it is that foully slew Dasharatha with the keen, poignant grief at having lost his son. Liable to sudden outbursts of insensate fury, her heart and intellect have not been purified by the study of the holy books or by the association with the virtuous. Of boundless pride and self-conceit, she sees not in the whole world anyone that approaches her in beauty and loveliness. She hides the heart of a demon of wickedness under the face of an angel of perfection. Ever wedded to the lust of wealth and power, her soul knows no pity nor shrinks from the darkest crime. She is the source and fountain of all my misery. I sum up every evil and sin I perpetrated in all my past lives where I call her my mother. Blinding tears choked his speech, fire flashed from his eyes, and he sighed hot and fiercely like an infuriated elephant. But Bharadwaja calmed him gently and said, "Child, you do ill in laying the blame on Kaikeyi. It is but providence that puts such thoughts into her heart. I take it that Rama is exiled to the forest for the greatest good of the gods, the Danavas, the Rishis, and the holy Brahmanas. So there is no reason why you should grieve or revile Kaikeyi." Then Bharata went round the sage, saluted him, received the affectionate blessings, and ordered the army to march. Some drove in chariots bright with gold, to which fleet horses were yoked. Some rode on elephants, bull and calf, that moved majestically like huge clouds covering the sky at the end of summer, while chains, garlands and sweet chiming bells decorated their vast bulk. Others travelled in litters, palanquins and other conveyances. The infantry marched on foot. Kaushalya and the other royal ladies travelled fast, eager to catch a glimpse of the dear face of their beloved Rama. Bharata had Vasishtha's permission to ride in a palanquin resplendent as the sun and the moon. The mighty host journeyed south, crossed the woods, the mountains and the rivers that lay south of Ganga, and drew near the wood where Rama abode, disturbing and frightening the men, the beasts and the birds on their way. Like a huge cloud in the sky that gathers volume as it proceeds. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.